and bring forth the joy and just the freedom that we need. Because the enemy would so love just to snuff out the flames of our hearts with fears and nonsense. So I thank God for freedom. I want to, yeah, just take a moment and say, Chris, it's time for the butterflies, my man. Chris said that he only gets butterflies when he preaches the moment I call him up. But he said, Lindy, his wife, she starts getting butterflies the moment she hears he's going to preach. So I don't know how many weeks it was, so sorry, Lindy, about that. It's a baby, Edna says. It's James. Chris, it's great. Yeah, to both of you, you're such a blessing in this house. Just your attitude and the fragrance of Christ, and the very specific fragrance of Christ that the two of you bring. We're just so thankful for you guys. You're truly living stones in this house that we cannot do without. And I thank God firstly, and I thank you guys. And yeah, geniet het, laat ek vir jou bid. Here, dankie vir Chris, en dankie dat hy ken. Dankie dat hy sy computer gaan regmaak. En dankie dat hy net sal vloei in die gees vanoggend, in Jesus naam. Thank you for his legacy that you've given him. And thank you that it will be multiplied unto others in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, can we get another amen in the house here? Yeah, come on guys. I want to look. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Amen. Woo! Like it. It's nice when you're able to preach after a session like this with the Holy Spirit just flowing. It's awesome. Just to retrieve some reference about my computer, it just shows you how the devil tries to steal. On Friday, as I was busy working on the sermon, my computer died. It died. I couldn't get anything off. All my preachers typed out and everything. I was like, oh no, Lord. And yeah, long story, I need to take it in this afternoon for the guys to have a look at it. But I literally had to, from memory, I had to go and retype the whole thing again. And it was just amazing how the Lord sort of brought new things into the sermon, you know, and how he sort of reminded you and you were able to think about it. And I'm just so privileged, you know, when you get attacked, then you know the devil doesn't want people to hear it. So that's an encouraging thing. And then secondly, I'm breaking the mold with my Jesus blockies. So just forgive me for that this morning. It's too hot. Alrighty then. Community. We've all heard this. We're in it. We're living it. I might be preaching to the converted this morning. But I just want to talk to you guys a little bit about it, dig a little bit deeper, and give you some personal testimonies and experiences where the Lord's worked with me and how he's used community to basically get to me where I'm standing right here. If it wasn't for community, if it wasn't for our personal Savior, Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be standing here. And if we can just go to the first slide. For those of you that's the first time here, welcome. For those of you that's been here with us through this series, we've been going on the topic of being anchored. And a lot of things have been said, and there's some amazing words, and you guys should really go online and get the previous messages if you can. But just to recap, be anchored in Jesus Christ first. He's our anchor. Without him, we are going all over the show. If we're anchored in him, then we're moving in our purpose. We're moving in what God wants for us. Be anchored in the Word of God. Guys, this is the guide. This is what he gave us. We need to be anchored in this guide. We need to make time. Make time for the Word. And then the area I want to touch on today is to be anchored in your local community. To be anchored in a church. And it's not that the church is going to save you or do anything for you, but it's important because it's a vehicle that God has created for us. If we can go to the next slide. We all know the story of Robinson Crusoe. Some of you might have read the book, seen the cheesy movies. And we all know that it's about a young man that came out of a wealthy family. And he didn't want to go into the family business. He rebelled, said, no, he wants to go traveling, see the world, sense of adventure. And basically what happened was is he got shipwrecked, or got into a ship, got shipwrecked somewhere in the Pacific somewhere on a deserted island, and he was all on his own. And for years, obviously, he had to survive and he had to make do. And even though he was in this idyllic location, this island, this perfect beach, and he created this little hut for himself in this place, and he was surviving, he was still miserable. He was in solitude. And it's just a picture of what can happen if we get isolated. If we look at Genesis 1, right in the beginning, God said, God looked at what he had created and saw that it was good. Now, what follows in Genesis 2 is quite interesting, because here God creates quite a contrast where he says, you know, obviously he's created this world that's perfect. You know, he's got Adam, he's got the garden and the animals, and he's in perfect relationship with them. But then God says, looking at his creation, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. So basically the only thing in creation that wasn't good was man's solitude. Now, this isn't just related to man getting a wife. It's about man not being alone is not good. God didn't create us. He didn't want it to be like that. If we can go to the next slide. Because we need community. Now, if we just look at a quick layman's term and definition, community, if you break the word up, com means with. And unity means being unified or having a common union. Now, it's quite important that you can be in community, but if you're not in common union, if you're not with other people, then you're not in community. So sometimes a good example of that is who lives in a block of apartments or flats? And do you know every single neighbor that lives in the flat? Exactly. So you're in a community, but you're not with any people and you're not in union with them. So it shows you how the world has become a place where we think we're in community, but we're not. It really comes down to being community, but together in the mind of Christ. So we're in union with one another within Jesus. And that's the difference. That's the difference that makes us different from a block of flats. That's what makes us different from being in a sports club. That's what makes us different from being in the workplace. Because we are in union in Christ together. If we can go to the next slide, let's just quickly look and let's see what the Bible says. In Psalms 133 verse 1, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Now you might think, whoa, what is a wedding picture doing on there? But if you think about it, God relates to the church as his bride. Now, why does he do that? But now, sketch this picture quickly. Imagine you're a guest in the wedding, and the bride's coming through, but all of a sudden she's got a blou oog and bandages. And dress is torn off, veil, hair is all over the show, limping, getting in there. I mean, what is the expression going to be like? Oh, yes, the bride of Christ has been fighting again. And this happens. There's a church in Dallas, Texas. Dallas, Texas. It was quite a successful big mega church. And what happened was is they had to put new carpets into a section of the building. I think it's sort of leading through the middle of the aisle. And this created such a rift in the church because they couldn't decide on the color that the church ended up splitting into two factions. And it dissolved into none. So it shows you how easy these things can come in. People have differences. And this actually reminds me of a grappie. Thanks, Steve. There was this ship captain, he was sailing somewhere, and they saw an island that wasn't on any of the charts. So they went closer ashore, and as they came closer, they saw this guy waving them in, you know, all happy and couldn't believe it, jumping up and down. But then they saw, as they came ashore, they saw there were three huts. And this guy said to him, "Oh, I've been here for 5 years, and thank you for rescuing me." And the captain was a little bit confused. He's like, "Well, why is there 3 huts? And the guy said, "Oh, no, the one hut I live in, and the other hut I go to church in." And he's like, "Okay, well, what's the third hut?" "Oh, no, that's where I used to go to church in." Aha. Let me get my notes sorted here. Let's go to the next slide. Lack of braai. In Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. "And let us consider to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." Obviously, all of us love a lack of braai. Yeah? And the last time we had a braai, I generally put all my wood on the one side, and then it fires up, and then all the coals drop down, and I can push it to the side, and then it's perfect for the braai. It's nice, glowing. It's recht for that sticky steak you want to put on there. And purposefully, I actually just pushed one little section, or a few coals, I just pushed away from the rest of the bulk of the coals. And it wasn't long, and that coal just died down. Didn't stop glowing. It wasn't really producing much heat. It wasn't really worth much at that stage. And pushing it back in, what happened? It started glowing up again. It was contributing to the rest of the fire. It was actually making my meat perfect. And what a picture that is for us in the body. So many times we end up getting to a place where, "Oh, you know, I don't really feel like being part," or, "No, I'll do God TV today," or, "You know, I'll listen Radio Tijgerberg, and that's enough for me." And you remove yourself from the body, you remove yourself from fellowship. What happens? You become cold. You become isolated. You become in a place where you are not really contributing. But you know, the amazing thing is the Lord is so forgiving, and He's so patient with us. And if we just come back into the body, if we just come back into fellowship, if we just come back into the fire, what happens? He sorts us out. We start glowing again. We start producing heat. We start producing and moving in the passion and the calling that He has for us. If we can go to the next slide. There's just a few more scriptures of sort of what the Lord is expecting of us, and things that we should be expecting in the body. If we look at Galatians 6, verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We need to look after each other. Your brother or sister, they might be going through something. They don't have to go through it alone. If we have capacity, we need to help them carry. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 18, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." We need to comfort the people around us. If someone's going through a bad patch, if someone lost a family member or a friend, if someone went through retrenchment, if someone's just having a bad day, we need to be there. We need to comfort them. In Thessalonians 5, verse 14, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." Patience. The Lord is so patient with us, but sometimes we get so quickly irritated with the people around us. And if you look at these verses and all the verses that talk about community, you'll see a common phrase that comes out. It says, "each other, one another." And that doesn't speak necessarily about our relationship to God or our relationship with God to ourselves, but it talks about the relationship between yourself and someone else. The people around you. It's an interpersonal relationship. And is there going to be conflict? Yes, of course. Gaan ons 'n bietjie. Yes. Are we going to get irritated? Yes. Are you going to sit next to someone that you don't really want to sit next to? Yes, that's going to happen. Gaan die pastoor te lank preek? Yes. Is the service going to be too short? No. Guys, this is like a hospital. We're in a hospital. We're like in a big charismatic net care where we're all a bunch of sick people that come for healing, come for restoration. We get patched up and we need to be sent out there. Sometimes we stay in the hospital forever. We never go out. So like a being patched up. And we need to take care of the people inside you. And just remember, no one's perfect. Everybody's on a different journey, on a different place. We're all growing. We're all getting closer and closer to the destiny that the Lord has for us. If we can go to the next slide. Let's just have a quick look at our community and, forgive me if I missed anything there. But just have a quick look there. Obviously, there's the church service, which we are. Well done, guys. Team Pinter. Small groups, prayer army, mothers groups, women's groups, men's Monday, missions, international, local missions, new initiatives, and other things. And can we do all of these things, every week? No, we can't. Let's be honest. But we need to be involved. We need to be somewhere. This is the forums that the local body creates for us to be in fellowship and to be with other believers. Sure, all of us can go and pray on our own every Thursday, and I believe the Lord does hear us. Yes, there's power in that. But there's something special about coming together on a Thursday and praying with other believers. All of a sudden, there's new word, there's fresh manna that drops. There's the Holy Spirit is sort of it's optimum environment, and it's also for you as a person. You grow. You're with other believers. You walk out there and you're encouraged. It's the same thing coming to a service, being in a small group. You can't be isolated. You can't be a Robinson Crusoe. We're in the most beautiful city in the world, but we can be alone. It's a sad thing. So are you connected? Are you plugged in somewhere? Start somewhere. Pick one that you can, that fits into your schedule. And eventually you'll see your schedule starts working around being in fellowship. It's a little bit like we answered the tithes. It's the first fruits. It's the first thing you need to do, not the last thing. There's never money left at the end of the month. That's why you need to give it in the beginning. If we go to the next slide, we look at why. Why community? Now, just as Retief would say, hovering on some stuff here. Community is a way to see Christ in others. We need to be exhibiting Christ. If we 007 Christians in the world, no one knows. You're deep undercover. People need to know we're Christians. You don't run around with the Bible. But just in our way of life, they need to see Christ. If they're not seeing Christ in our life, then we need to make some course corrections. A source of accountability and guidance. In the church environment, it's incredibly important to be accountable, to have someone that can speak into your life, to allow people to speak into your life. This is one of the areas where I struggled, and once I submitted this, there was, boom, all of a sudden there was growth. A place to pray and worship, like we had this morning. Just how incredible was this time of worship where the Holy Spirit was just like gliding over this place. And it really, a community is where you can really live yourself out. You can sing your heart out. And even if you sing a bit false, it's fine because everybody's on a different tune. And that's all right. You can enjoy yourself. A place to serve. Tony Rihanna, she basically put the whole message in a nutshell there this morning. Serving. And this is a bit of a contentious thing for some people. For me it was. I remember even in this community, we were most probably 6 months or a year, I think, we were in the church and we didn't want to serve. We were like, no, I want to chill at the back of the bus. And the previous pastor, Tiens, bless him, yeah, I think he got gutful of us not doing anything, so he just put us on a list and emailed and said, hey, you're on these two duties now, next Sunday. And I was like, what? But, yeah. But you know what happened? all of a sudden, my selfishness dropped away. Serving is not about you. It's not about me. It's about the people around you. It's something you do for someone else. And by giving of yourself, what happens? All of a sudden, people give to you. Things start changing. Your heart starts breaking down. That me, me, me becomes we. Serving. You know, guys, I really want to encourage you guys. If you're serving and you're fully committed, do awesome. You guys can witness to this. If you're not, find something. Find something to do that's not necessarily going to benefit you, but it's going to benefit the people around you. As you saw, there's a few things you guys can volunteer for. So next week, there shouldn't be anything on the list because it's going to be all filled up. Nah. Can I get an amen? Well, you know, 1, 2, 3. The community or the local church needs to be a witness to the world and ambassadors of God's love. Guys, when we walk out of here, we're ambassadors. People look at us. The world wants us to slip up. They want us to be the 007s. We need to be ambassadors for Christ. Whether we like it or not, like Retief said last week, we're born into war. Whether you like it or not, we are ambassadors. We are carrying the Lord's shield. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. As soon as we become sons and daughters of the living King. If I can get the next slide there. Just did a few compilation of pictures just so that you guys know I'm not lying. I didn't pull this testimony off Google somewhere. The Lord had a massive journey with me. In 2005, I was in Plettenberg Bay as a full-time youth pastor at a local church there. And yeah, just, it was crazy and amazing time of just building a youth ministry, being involved in the church, being in full-time. And really felt like, wow, this is it. My trajectory is set. And as all things life happens, politics entered into the community church, and there was different factions that within leadership, and for some reason I ended up in the middle and ended up being pushed out, and it was a horrible time of my life. It was like my life came to an end, and I'm like, God, I'm working for you full time. What's happening? Why is this happening to me? And I got angry with God, plain and simple. Moved out, and I said, listen, well, I'm going traveling, literally. Got onto a yacht, sailed all the way to Europe with a delivery boat, and yeah, it was just crazy how, even though I was angry with God, I was upset with him and basically rejected him and thought he'd completely left me. He never did. I can keep you guys busy all morning about how he protected me on those trips, crossing the seas and crossing the oceans, and ended up in Europe. And within 3 days, I found work on one of these exclusive yachts, and that's a testimony on its own. Generally, you look for months. I was walking, I think the first morning I walked, boom. There was just someone approached me and said, oh, here's a job. I mean, that's the Lord. You know, that's how he looks after you. Even though I'm in this place of anger, I'm in this place of rebellion, the Lord has got your back because you're his child. And long story short, obviously went through a few years of working, and because you're in the world, there's no community there. It's just crazy. And I'm like that cold. It just gets colder, 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 colder. You become less and less, and you become more like the world. You become more like the people around you. Because what you surround yourself with, inevitably you're going to become like that. And it's amazing. I was in Spain, and I met this guy on the beach, and it's crazy. He's from Alpos. And the Lord sent him similar on a trip. And this guy was just witnessing of how amazing the Lord was, all the miracles, like things that happened on the boat and how he got there. And I was like, I don't really want to hear this. You know, you just feel so convicted because you know the light, you know it in there. It's the Lord's there. He's not, it's like flickering, like there's almost no heat left. And he invited me to this small little church in the middle of town. And this church is like 1 millimeter beyond Catholic. And the pastor was a British guy that was preaching in Spanish. I would have to sit next to his wife, and she would translate what he was saying. But you know, there in that little small community, I felt God's presence. I felt the Holy Spirit. I felt the love of Jesus. I'd have these old women sitting next to me with their little Bible and showing me where to read, even though I can't understand. Afterwards, you know, you're like, okay, I'm going home now. They're like, no, you're coming to dinner with us or lunch or whatever. Still can't speak a word, but these people are just feeding you. They just want to spend time with you. It was an authentic community. And right there and then, the Lord dealt with a few things. Number one, he showed me that I cannot live without community. You need community. You can't be a Robinson Crusoe. We weren't made for isolation. Genesis 1, it was not good for man to be alone. We needed to be in community. Number two, I came from a very charismatic background. A lot of you might have come from a Dutch Reformed or a Catholic or a Methodist or some other denomination, and you ended up in the Shafarian way of doing things. I never had that, and for me, I had a very prideful outlook in terms of, you know, we better. We know the truth. We know the scriptures better than they do. And the Lord dealt with that thing there. In most probably the most religious, most traditional church that's, you know, that you can find, I experienced Christ. I experienced his love. I experienced what church should be like. I experienced what something I was lacking, just that love for people that went beyond themselves. They didn't have to be nice to me. They didn't have to invite me to lunch. They didn't have to translate the sermon to me. There was love there. And then, yeah, basically after a few years, the Lord started a work of restoration and came back. Me and Linda got married. We knew, first thing, we had to find a community. And like a lot of you might have done, we went church hopping, you know, sort of checked out a few places and like, the worship and preek and, you know, started doing all of those things. Come on, we've all been there. And we most probably got to the least likely of churches. I remember the old church building, Petri, would remember. We were there on top of the club, and you could hear the heavy metal going, you know, below us, and the guys going out the bottles. And but there was just, there was a love there. We walked in, still remember old Rolf came and chatted to us, and we just felt at home. I said, this is where we need to be. And we got plugged in, and now I'm standing here. What happened was, is got into the church. As I said, we, for about a year, we were chilling in the back seat, you know, just enjoying. Got serving, and all of a sudden that selfishness started going. All of a sudden I realized I needed to be mentored, and I had to be open and vulnerable. And once I did that, all of a sudden, restoration started coming. Started dealing with stuff in my life. Started being accountable. And there was growth. Growth. This is what the Lord wants. Remember? And John talks about the vine. If we're not producing fruit, either we need to get pruned to produce fruit, or it gets cut off and thrown out. The Lord wants growth. And within that growth, you start moving into the calling that the Lord has for us, has for you. And he does. If you don't know what your calling is, guys, afterwards, you need to get up here, you need to pray, you need to ask the Lord to reveal and show you the purpose and the plan that he has for you. If we can go to the next slide, I just want to read to you a section out of Romans 12. And for me, it was, when I read this, it was such a beautiful picture of what church could look like and should look like. Challenging, but true. So I'm just going to read this with you guys quickly. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same functions, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. You must just tell me if I'm reading beyond. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. You have the next one there. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberty, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The Lord has given all of us a ministry. All of us have a ministry. It's either you love chatting to your neighbor, or you're part of a sports group, or you're an usher, or you happy team, or whatever. The Lord has given all of us something where we need to contribute into the body. And we need to be willing, and we also need to know that, hey, this is the community where you can do it. If there's something you've got on your heart, you really want to do evangelism, or something, you want to go out into the hospitals and pray for the guys, come talk to Retief, come talk to the leadership and say, hey, let's get some guys together. There might be a few other people that feels they have that exact same calling. And sometimes it just needs one person for that spark. All of a sudden there's flame and you guys can go. This place isn't rigid. There isn't just these things and then that's it. We need to come and we need to say, let's move in these different types of ministries. Let's go to the next slide there. Be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. That's what you've been speaking about. Not longing in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Guys, like I say, being together, praying, doing all of these things, it's important. It's part of what this community is all about. Distributing to the needs of saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Sure, there's going to be guys that irritate you. There's going to be people that, whoa, you're in that church. You know, you're going to get that stuff. And we need to love them. If you can go to the next slide. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. This morning we were talking about being happy, being rejoicing, and weep with those who weep. I remember we, in our small group once, we spoke about how, if someone went through something very traumatic, sometimes it's easy to just throw Bible scriptures at people or, you know, have a word of wisdom for someone. And sure, the Lord does give you things, but sometimes you just need to cry with them. You just need to be on shoulder. You don't have to say anything. You just need to physically be there for someone. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on higher things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Guys, we know better than anybody else. We need to be the least. We need to know that, sure, the Lord can give you fresh revelation on word and on things, and you can have an amazing understanding, and that's brilliant, and that's awesome. But the guy next to you that has a completely different way of expressing his love to God, we know better than them. We are all children of Christ. We are all his kids. Reply no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Go to the next one. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Okay, this is not a payback one, but this is how amazing it is. If you repay evil with kind, it's something supernatural that happens. All of a sudden, you're allowing the Lord to come into this situation. And he says, do not become over evil, but overcame evil with good. Is there another slide there? I can't remember now. No, that's it. So the Lord, he does the work for us. If I can just have the worship team op sommer al twee van julle. Just a few things that I just wanted to mention to you guys. That this was now a nice little description of what church can be like, and we can read it every week and we're like, ooh, yay, we come to church, we do our stuff, I'm going to sell, you know, and we can live our happy lives. We can be like the apartment of flats, you know, in your little flat and you're happy and you've got your security gate. But if you don't reach out, if you're not with other people, become like that little coal that just gets colder and colder and colder and colder and colder until it evaporates. And this morning, just now, I just want you guys to do one more song, just now. And while they do, when they're going to do that song, I want us to just be introspective for a minute. I just want to mention a few things. And this is stuff that I felt the Lord has dealt with me, but perhaps you still need to deal with that. I remember when I left the church, there was some of the leaders, yes, and the stuff that was said and the fights and the whatnot before I left, there was some horrible stuff coming from some extremely gifted and spiritual men. And wow, I remember the first time I preached here, about a week before, I was sort of just praying and asking the Lord, is there something I still need to sort out? Is there something I need to repent of? And the Lord said, yo, you haven't forgiven those leaders. You haven't, two specific men, you haven't forgiven them. I'm like, sure I have. This is like 10 years ago. He's like, no, you haven't. Have you spoken to them since? And I was like, no, I haven't spoken to them since. And you all had to go find the numbers. And jeez, I found the first guy. Yes, and my heart was like, doing his drum roll. And I was like, I don't really know what to say, but I just apologize for everything I said, everything I did. Not expecting them, you know, I thought the guy was going to put the phone down, you know. And what happened is we both started crying over the phone, and he apologized, and I apologized, and we were just sharing with each other, and there was just restoration. And I was like, what is happening? Phoned the senior pastor, same thing. And it was like this Mount Everest that just fell off my back. All of a sudden, it was just, I was like, oh, I can breathe. It's almost like I've been trying to breathe through a stroiki, you know, for the last 10 years. All of a sudden, the thing's out of my mouth. I can just breathe this new life, this restoration. This morning, I want to know, has anybody been hurt by a church before? Has anybody been hurt by a church member? Sometimes persecution comes not from, you know, the atheists and the Muslim people and the hardcore lobby groups outside. It comes from the person sitting next to you in church. Have you ever been hurt by someone in your community? Are you struggling to commit to a local church? Are you struggling to say, I need to get plugged in? Some of us struggle with that. We don't see the point. We've been hurt, and we're not going to get hurt again. You know, there's walls up there. Are you struggling to serve? Are you struggling to say, so why must I help with a coffee? What is that going to do to my Christian life? Everything. That's going to root out the me, the I. And that's going to be create a we and a us. Are we just struggling with people in general? People don't get me. So I'm not going to talk to anybody because they're just not going to get me. And then the area where I struggled, that the Lord really had to pull this thing out of me. And let's be honest, are we struggling with the pride of religion? I'm in a charismatic, I'm in a happy clappy. I'm better than the guy next to me. I'm better than the other church. I know what's happening. The other guys don't. And maybe you came out of a different denomination. Maybe you were hurt. Maybe the Holy Spirit just guided you into this community. I don't know. Maybe there's something unresolved there. Let's give that to the Lord. So as they go into just a song of worship, I just want to do an open invite. Anybody that wants to come up, let us pray for you. There's going to be some leaders in front here. Put these things on the ground and say, I want to get rid of this stuff. I want to get rid of this hurt that a previous community has given me. I want to get rid of this hurt. A previous pastor said something over me, or someone at church said something, or someone gossiped. I want to get rid of this fear of being connected. I want to get rid of this fear of men, fear of man, fear of people around me. This fear of this religion holding us back. I want to encourage you guys. And then also, I want to take it a step further. If you feel I've dealt with all these things, yes, guys, awesome. Yeah, then you're on that's a good place to be. But maybe you know someone that isn't. Maybe you have a brother or a sister or a wife or a husband, or a tani, a friend, a neighbor that you know is hurt, has been hurt by church, has been hurt by people struggling with one of these things. Come up and stand proxy for them. Stand proxy. What does that mean? Mean you come in and you stand in the gap spiritually for that person. Let's trust and ask the Lord for freedom. We want to be free of these things. Once you're free, once you're plugged in, once you're in the groove of things and you're able to grow, you're able to serve, you're able to be mentored, you're able to grow, you're able to walk into the giftings that the Lord has given for you. And then just lastly, if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, by some chance you ended up here, someone dragged you here, came by free will, if you need to accept the Lord Jesus, you need to come up as well. Come and give your heart to Him. If you don't know Him, if you need to recommit, if you've grown cold and you don't know where you stand with the Lord, if you get, if something happens to you today, you don't know where you're going, guys, let's sort that out right now. Don't delay. Let's recommit our hearts. So, yeah, as they do a song, I just want to encourage you guys. Also, don't run away. Have coffee. That's community. 101. People aren't going to bite. We're here to love each other. So, yeah, as they do the song, anybody who wants to come up, wants to stand proxy for someone, wants to sort out this stuff in their life, there'll be some of us in front to pray with you guys. Thank you.